Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 322 for December 6, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And you should be seeing my screen right now showing the S&P 500. And we're going to start out talking with that. But for today, I have arranged for Sonny Harris, Wally Alapade, and Michael Filigera to join us. And Michael will be moderating today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
And thank you very much, David. And thank you for inviting me in to moderate in place of Jim, who I hear is on vacation. Well deserved,
yep.
I imagine.
Yep.
Today should be a very good conversation. I really admire and respect the work of both Sonny and Wally. And so I'm going to get things going. Let's do a first round of, and we'll begin with Sonny, on who you are, give a brief introduction, and then anyway, any market ideas that you might have about where the S&P is and what you think is going to happen by the end of the week.
Well, I've been trading for 41 years. I'm a mathematician, a programmer, working on my seventh book right now. This one's about using the programming methods, some more sophisticated programming methods that are in TradeStation. And as far as the ES goes, the S&P, it's looking real volatile to me. I mean, it's been going steadily up, and then I got a signal on my Sunny Bands and my dynamic moving average to go short, and it's been going short in large bars and then back up again in large bars. So we've got some range going on here. I'm thinking we're going to be continuing on sideways to down for the next few days.
Okay, so basically it opened at 45.42. I do hear you on the volatility. It is very volatile and moving strongly in both directions.
Yeah.
So sideways to lower. And so I guess it's like what a lot of people are looking for is like, so do you expect it to then be below 45.42?
Well, let's see. Right now it's at 46.02. 45.02 was the open. No, 45.42, sorry, was the open. And yes, I do expect it to drop on down at least to 45.12.
Okay, perfect. And Wally?
Yeah, so so I am a quantitative and technical analyst. Simply what that means is we just study data. My background is in finance, studied accounting in college, and we created a whole model based on technical analysis and quantitative analysis to kind of help us see what's going on in the market and make decisions that are not emotional, but just simply based on data. One of the biggest things we pride ourselves in is that, you know, our work has allowed us to stay on the right side. And that's the reason why we call our company Right Side, stay on the right side of the market more often than not. The market drop-in that we see right now, we call the top back on November 22nd, just like we've done multiple times in the past. And right now I'm calling the bottom based on the data that we have again, just like we did during the pandemic lows. We call the bottom of the pandemic lows. We call the top of the pandemic in 2020, like 2 weeks before, saying something horrible was about to happen. Everybody sell, sell, sell. And then when we hit bottom in March, we were shocked, but we couldn't deny the data that we saw and said it's time for the market to rally again. And so, yes, the market has been volatile, but that's a common thing with when the market hits bottom. Okay, so you have the shuffling is what we call it. I don't know what it is, because institutions are changing positions or whatever, but the fact of the matter is we put in a bottom. And so we wrote about this in our report last week, this weekend, telling people get ready to start buying, you know, dust off those, you know, those cash that you have hidden and get ready to deploy that into the market, because the next time we get together, we'll probably be at all-time highs. So where do I see the market by the end of this week? Higher, without a question. Higher.
Higher. Okay. And again, I'm Michael Filigera. I have been involved with the markets since 1979, and both doing analysis and trading. Primarily, I was an options market maker for many of those years. I switched over and went into day trading and joined the futures crowds probably about 8 to 9 years ago. And so that's where I am putting my focus at the moment. In the S&P, I do believe that the market is going to close lower than where we opened today, and that would be by Friday. Again, the volatility is extreme right now and has been ever since we did make that all-time high at 47.42. So I actually believe that we will be lower than 40. 45-42 on Friday. So having said that, let's go back around and basically just kind of discuss, besides what you were saying, Wally, in terms of your data, can you put a little bit more talk into what that data was revealing to you and why you guys are calling the low that I'm going to say that we made Friday at 44.92 was the low?
Yeah, sure. Very good point. So basically, let's start with just even the candlesticks that we see there. The green candle that we had right before the low, so I guess the one on Thursday, that green candle right there is usually, that one right there. Thank you. That's usually a bottoming pattern. We call that bottoms up. It's something that we discovered long time ago when I was studying market bottoms, because, you know, we hear people talk about the bubble, all the time. One of the things that I used to always resent when I first started learning was like, nobody ever talks about the bottom. And so I ventured out to study bottoms. And that candlestick you see right there is a candlestick that usually appears right when the market bottoms. So the pandemic low was the same thing, but just on the monthly chart. So that's why when we saw that on the monthly chart and on the S&P back in March of last year, it was like, OMG, you know, market was ready to go higher. And I said, anybody who doesn't buy now is going to miss out on this. It was the same one that we saw in the financial crisis bottom in 2009, the same candlestick that showed up in the dot-com crash bottom. You know, so for that reason alone, we say, okay, we've seen a bottoming pattern. Okay, so that's the first thing. But then the second thing is to see how the next day, which is on Friday, which is another bottoming pattern, but the fact that it could not close or go lower and instead close higher, and then today we're seeing it go higher. Without a question in our mind, we see this as a market that is bottomed and ready to go higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And same type of question, Sunny, and as to what your observations are and a little bit more as to why you feel that the market will close lower by the end of the week, lower than today's open, let's say.
Okay. Years and years ago, I realized that whipsaw is what kills you in the market. You can catch a trend and make a whole lot of money, and then you get 70% of the time the market's in whipsaw or sideways action, so correcting. So I invented something I called my dynamic moving average based on my master's thesis in mathematics. And I got it so that it does not whipsaw. It doesn't take you back and forth. Well, you can almost see it right over here on the chart. You see where your moving average goes down, crosses, comes back up, crosses again, goes down. Right. Mine doesn't do that. It stays out of the way when the market's just kind of moving sideways. It doesn't cross back and forth over itself. So then I traded that for several years, 4 or 5 years, and then realized that I wanted something else that would predict tops and bottoms better. So I created two range bands around the dynamic moving average, and that I call my sunny bands. So I read the sunny bands for my tops and bottoms, and the green candle that he was talking about, Wally was talking about, just touches my lower inner sunny band. And that's kind of a weak sign to me, the way the configuration is. And it's just now getting ready to touch the dynamic moving average itself. But the purple line is on top in the dynamic moving average, which is bearish. And that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Well, to kind of add my two cents in there, I do see what Wally is making reference to. And I also do a lot of work with moving averages. And when I'm trying to determine strength or weakness in the market, I tend to go out to the daily. And again, that's basically because I am a day trader. So I see that weakness and strength can actually convert on each other daily, just about. So again, going back to that first candle down, and that would be on the 2nd of December, 1st or the 2nd of December, that particular candle broke below the daily 50 moving average, and it closed below, which is a sign of weakness in the market. The following day, which would have been the 2nd, the market rallied and closed back above that 50-day moving average, which would not necessarily revert the market back to strength, but it does kind of put a cancel or a hold on that significant signal that we had gotten the day before. Then on the third, so on Friday, the market again drifted, broke back below that 50, and then closed below the 50 after making a new low at 44.92. But it, as we all are saying, the market rallied strongly up off that level, off that low, but it failed to break back above. And so I thought that coming in today, when I saw from yesterday's Globex openings that there was some strength in the market and they were not letting it go. And it showed up first in the Dow. And the Dow has kind of led the way even today with the market, you know, the Dow being up over 700 points. And that, of course, pulls up everybody else. And so the S&P has gone back and now is back above, well above the 50-day moving average on the daily chart. In fact, it's now gone back above the 4 and it's now pushing up against the 8. So I use the moving average, uses a 4, an 8, a 20, a 50, and a 200. The 200 is well below. So that's not in play, but that 50, which is basically just flat. So it's kind of just really be indicative of what the market is doing in that it's volatile and just moving up and down and up and down above and below that 50-day moving average. Now, what the next step for the S&P for me to prove its upside would be for it to break and close back above the 20. So because they're back to back, at least on a daily, they're back to back red, green, that I again cannot find anything negative to say about, you know, what Wally is bringing to the table today, because I think that's a very strong indicator and it is very possible. But I personally still believe on the other technique, the other trading tools that I use, that the market will again move lower. And I think that there's more sell side pressure. That doesn't mean that we will drop, but on a little bit longer period of time, I am actually expecting a drop down to 4,400. And that would be where I would pick a stronger point of support to put in a more permanent low and then start a rally that would go up and move the market to new highs. I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There's a lot of what I term as noise, which pulls the market in both directions. I'm also finding, and I'd like to just put this around as a question, that there is just a lot of options plays that are coming in that are pushing tech titan companies in one direction. And then it just almost forces a squeeze to keep it going in that direction. And I've now seen it do the rounds. And right now it continues to be in Apple. And now also Apple and Amazon's picked up and Google's picking up. And so we get these stocks all going in one direction and everybody races in, and it's all being done on the weekly options. So when I see that, what really starts to happen and is what they term as a gamma squeeze. And that's just trying to understand the Greeks and options. And I don't really want to go into that into detail because our discussion is more on the S&P and what can happen there. But safe to say that I see that coming in again, and that provides a lot of upside or downside in our markets simply because of the weighting that these large tech stocks have in the S&P. So my call is still, I expect additional downside. And that's just basically to almost complete this pattern that has now been in play off of that all-time high at 47.42. But I would like to just kind of put it around the table that what do you think will contribute to a continuation of a downside move? Or if we're just looking at the price action, what's going to support the market to continue to go higher? So why don't we, again, Wally, I'll leave that open for you and then we'll do a round on that.
Sure. So I love how you phrase that question because unfortunately, you know, one of the things that we do here is literally strictly just look at data, you know. So I know that there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm aware of, you know, all the volatility. I'm aware of all the news and all the things that can make the market move in so many different directions. But if I was just stick to data, you know, the only thing I can say that would confirm that this is going higher is more so that I have something that we term a market that is in unison, okay?
Right.
What I mean by that is when the whole market, and we focus on five major indices predominantly. I call those my news tidbits. I don't look at the news. I just pay attention to five indices and see what's going on with them. And I can then assess what's going on in the market. And those five indices are the S&P 500, the Dow, mm-hmm. which you just mentioned is doing phenomenally well today, the NASDAQ 100, the Russell 2000, mm-hmm. as well as the transportation index. And so when we see the same pattern happening on all five of them, we call that a market that's in unison, meaning that, you know, this is not just, you know, particular to the NASDAQ and tech heavy stocks, or this is not just particular to the Russells. It's happening everywhere. It's happening with transportation. It's happening with the Dow. It's happening with the S&P 500. It's happening with everybody. And when that happens, very rarely does the market go against that notion. Does that make sense? And so
yes,
when we saw that this weekend, I was like, oh my goodness, the NASDAQ put in a bottom, the S&P put in a bottom, the Dow put in a bottom, the Russell put in a bottom, the transportation put in a bottom. It's like, this is a no-brainer. The market is at the bottom. And that's kind of like what we attribute the reason why, you know, it doesn't matter. Yes, I do agree with what Sunny said. There could be volatility. And again, I think part of that reason is because it's going to be a lot, I believe. I won't go out there and say, oh yeah, I know for sure. But I always question, why is there always volatility at the bottom? And my only theory behind that is that maybe this is where the institutions are, you know, doing a shift in their portfolio change, you know, where there's a sector rotation or something. Mm-hmm. But something is happening that causes that volatility. But almost every major bottom would have volatility that would be choppy, which is very interesting because that's when it spooks a lot of people to stay out of the market, which is what Warren Buffett says, you buy when everybody is fearful. So from a data point of view, we're seeing that the major indices that we follow, every single one of them are saying it's time to buy. We've hit the bottom. So that's another additional confirmation that we use to then say, it's not just the S&P. S&P is not a lone ranger here. It's not the Rambo. All of them are in unison. Right.
But let me ask you, and because you're now very firmly saying that this is a bottom and you're seeing that across the board in the five indices that you track, what is your time frame on this bottom? Is this a bottom that's going to hold through the first quarter of 2022? Or is it just a short-term bottom and we could get another turn and it just goes down and it goes through that?
Gotcha. Good point. So in a way, we don't have like, this is how long it's going to take. Okay. I tell people, I said, look, we just read the data. We can't predict the future, but we do read the data. And the data that's telling us is we hit the bottom. Now, what we expect to happen is all-time highs. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I do not believe that the market is going to go lower based on data. Let's put it this way. I would be completely shocked, like blindsided shock if the market goes lower than where we've hit on Friday. Okay. And I say, so what I'm expecting, what I've been telling all our subscribers is find the stocks that you're going to go buy because market's going back to all-time highs. And so I would not expect the market to go any lower until first we reach all-time highs. Now, how long would that take? I don't know. But one thing I know
the market, it could take about a week.
It could take a week.
The way the market seems to be trading.
Now, let me add one more thing to that, if you don't mind. Another element now, it's also seasonality. Like we focus a lot on seasonality and we are in December. December is typically an up month, okay? The key mm-hmm. I try to tell people, I was just discussing this earlier, is everybody wants to focus on when is the Santa Claus rally? And you ask two different people, what's the Santa Claus rally? And they will give you two different answers. And right. So I'm going to give you a third one. And the third one to me is the Santa Claus rally happens when we put in a bottom for the month of December. There's always some type of bottom, whether it's a short-term bottom, long-term bottom, but it's a major bottom, a small bottom, but it's always some type of bottom that we get in December, which literally triggers the Santa Claus rally. So in my report last night, I told people, I said, hey, Santa Claus is in town because this is the bottom for December. So when we add that element of seasonality to that and said market rallies in December to close out the year, I'm saying I do not expect this to go any lower than where we are right now.
Right, right. Same type of question to you, Sunny. What is it that you would find to be compelling to put a firmer, this is a tradable bottom, buy it, next stop, new highs?
You talking to me or Sunny?
Sunny.
Hey, Sunny, looks like you're muted.
There we go. Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't find any fault with Wally's reasoning, actually, it seems quite sound. He's almost got me convinced. But I'm looking at now on my charts, I use the 21-day and the 55-day moving average. Mm-hmm. This is both Fibonacci numbers. So they're close to your 20 and 50.
Right.
But if you notice on the 20-day, your 20-day, it's still moving down. It hasn't turned up. And that to me is negative. So it's touched it. It's just a little bit above it. But I think that it's going to go on back down for a little bit.
Right.
And the 50 days flat. So we've got a flat and we've got a down. They typically come and cross each other before the market will go on moving back up.
Right.
Yes, I do expect new highs again. I'm looking for Dow 50,000, but that's long term for me. I in my own trading, I trade 1 minute and 5 minute charts. So, you know, a daily chart's very long term to me.
Exactly. I agree with you on that. I'm the same way.
Yeah. But it can go on and exceed my dynamic moving average by a little bit. It mm-hmm. typically does do that just to test it. But I do think it's going to come on down a little lower.
Right. Thank you. I'm going to agree with what you're saying, Sunny, and that there's nothing to dispute Wally's findings and that call that it's a tradable bottom. One cannot disagree with that when you're seeing that the S&P is up almost $70 the next day. But what I find very interesting is that I have been doing a lot of writing and just a lot of thought processes on the status quo. And I feel what this market is, what our markets and what investors are breaking is the status quo. And so I feel that on a major level, the status quo of buy and hold, the status quo of you're in it for the long haul, the status quo that, you know, what we've held on to, a Santa rally, a December rally. We always get a December rally. It's like, well, always only holds fast until it's broken. And so I feel that the markets and investors are trying to wrestle with what's the new normal. I mean, here we have this like Wally mentioned, this incredible rally off of the March 2020 lows in the face of a pandemic that we had no idea what damage it was going to do. Mm-hmm. And here we are a year later or 2 years later almost that we do know now what it can do. We're confronting with a new variant and yet we still want to basically ignore it. And based on, and this is kind of what we're discussing here, data, that the data shows. So that could be the breaking of the status quo because of having to say what things always were to what things are now is, I think, the more important question. Are we going to break the status quo? By trading what the data is telling you, my answer would be yes. Not that we're in it for the long haul, so yeah, we're going to buy it, or that it's a tradable low. The fact is that it's data driven. That's what I find more important. And that's why I would tend to go, I cannot disagree with you, Wally. I think that that's very good work, but I'm still, and then I agree with what Sunny just said, because I agree. I'm looking at that 20 and then Sunny's it's a 21. So basically the same. And I like the fact that the Fibonacci numbers, because I am a Fibonacci trader. But now that I see where this market is creeping itself above 46.06, now it's 46.07, that's breaking a level that really kind of tells me, no, we got more upside rather than downside. And what's going to confirm that now is if the daily 20 gets taken out and the market closes above, and that level is right, basically almost right here. That level is right at 46.10, 46.11. If we get a close above there, that's going to produce, I believe, another strong round of buying. Now, but what we've now witnessed is these massive rallies that get kicked to the curb in the afternoon trade. So I would almost think that we've got 30 minutes before the solid, you know, the 2 o'clock crowd comes in and then things start to go in different directions. And it is kind of amazing as I sit and I watch the money flow in and out and how the trading is being done, that it's confounding me in a way, because I'm like, where are you finding all of this money? And who's actually stepping up to the plate after getting cremated to kind of come back in and redo it all? And I find it very, very interesting. So, but being a day trader, I can turn on a dime. I can turn from that, from being bearish to bullish on a dime. I can change a position by hitting reverse. And so I do tend to mix that together with Elliott Wave. And the Elliott count in the S&P has been very difficult at best. But what I'm now being more convinced of, that what is ending ending up being is just a little bit more complex decline. And indeed, that low from Friday may have put the completion point for this part of the decline. And what that really suggests to me is that the market could rally up, maybe get to that 46.27, 46.30, and then roll over again. That doesn't signify or suggest that it might be moving to a new low, although basically my wave count tells me that it should. But we're just at a very interesting point. And I think it's great to kind of roll with that. And because I do think we're in a very confusing time in the market, I do think that trying to do a balance between what works and what doesn't work is a lot more difficult. And so what I like hearing so far is that each of us have our tools and our indicators that we trade with and that we use consistently. So I'd like to just do another round and talk about any particular, like Sunny, you were talking about the sunny bands, and I find that very, very interesting, but maybe give us a little bit more on how that came about and what they're really, if they're sunny bands, are they kind of based on Bollinger's? Are just totally your own algorithm?
They're my own algorithm. Thanks for asking. Bollinger bands are based on exponential moving averages in the center and then standard deviations for the channel on the outside of the, he has a single line. I have double lines in the middle that are based on proprietary mathematics mine to keep the moving, and I wish I could show you, scoot a chart over there and show you a picture, but there are two lines that behave very strangely for moving averages because they get out of the way of whipsaw. When there's whipsaw, they'll actually widen to avoid crossing back and forth over each other, which is kind of contrary to the way most moving averages work.
Right.
So on those moving averages, then I take the midline of the two averages and I put 1.2 and 2.0 average true ranges on either side of the dynamic moving average, which creates the channels, which I call my sunny bands. And in weak markets the dynamic moving average has gold on top and purple on the bottom, that's bullish. If purple's on top and gold's on the bottom, that's bearish. So I've already got a macro view of where the market's supposed to be going. Mm-hmm. And then the targets are the upper sunny bands and the lower sunny bands. And you can just see the markets go right to them and right back again, over and over and over.
So basically it's like trading in a box. It's what kind of that.
Trading in a moving box, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, it's sometimes it's sideways, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. You never know which way they're going to go, but they're not really like Bollinger bands. If you overlay Bollinger bands on top of sunny bands, you can see the differences.
So it, when one side breaks and the other side breaks, then that's your breakout. And then that's the direction. Would that be correct?
Yeah. Well, when, for instance, in the current Dow, we had a move up to the top band, down again and through the DMAs in the middle, on down to the lower sunny band, turned red at the bottom sunny band, and then turned blue. My bars are blue. Yours are green. So it turned green on the bar that Wally was mentioning and is now up again at the DMA in the center.
Right.
What I'm saying, though, is that because purple is currently on top and we've hit the center line, where I'm expecting a rebound back down from that.
I would agree with that. I actually would agree with that. And again, it's not saying anything negative.
Wally's probably going to prove us both wrong.
that's the other side.
No, that's all right.
but I think that's what makes a market. And so I think there was another show, or it might even been on the larger synergy events that David has done. And I listened to Wally and I just listened very intently. And so I cannot fault that those indicators, and I can't fault your work at all. But I'm just trying to find that happy medium blend, because I think that we're all basically saying that, well, yes, the market can really just launch itself from here. But your signals are coming a lot quicker than I think what Sunny and my signals would reveal. But it doesn't mean that any of us are wrong or any of us are right. And I think that sometimes becomes a big factor in the market. So I think on a little bit long-term basis, yes, Wally, I think very cleanly that the market has potential.
Absolutely.
Now, how high of a probability scale I want to give that? And maybe that's where I'm going to talk. talk now is if we had to put a probability on, and we had to put a probability weighting, so we're going to do a percentage, I would probably on the market moving up by the end of December and going, or even let's just say, we'll just keep it to what the focus on this particular show is that by the end of the week, and again, I'm going to use the word that we don't like using, because of the volatility in the markets right now, I would not give a higher than 50% probability to the market closing above 45.42. So let me just do a round. And Wally, I'm going to start with you. On what probability would you now give?
Sure. Very good point. And before I even answer that question, let me just say, I think what you guys both said, you and Sunny said, is so true, you know, in the sense that, yeah, you know, my analysis is showing some information just a little bit sooner than yours. But I always even like to tell people, I say, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to trading, one of the things I like what you guys said is you're day traders and you can switch
right
at the drop of a dime, depending on what you see, right? So I always try to tell people that. I said, look, at the end of the day, and this is why we call ourselves right side traders, you got to make sure that you're on the right side. So even if your analysis comes out and it says it's one thing, but then all of a sudden it starts switching and showing something different, the key is to know, wait a second, something is wrong with this analysis. I need to switch sides. And that's really all it comes down to. So it's almost like you have to learn how to maneuver. It's not just because, oh, we have a green light and it's always going to stay green light to the end of the destination. Not necessarily. The key is to learn how to say, okay, I got a green light now, and now I got a red light and I need to stop what I'm doing and find where the next green light is. So with that being said, you are absolutely right. What if I was completely wrong? As confident as I am, could I be wrong? Without a question, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. But the one thing I know is if data comes out tomorrow that proves me wrong, I would know that too and switch directions immediately, just like you guys would have done too as well.
Right.
You know, so I don't like to tell people, oh, because we call this, so we are 100% going to be, you know, absolutely correct. And it has to be this way. I don't control the market. None
exactly.
of us.
Exactly.
You know, all we see is information that has shown up and said, look, when we see this information, this is generally what we can expect. And then you just, and that's why you have position sizing, trade management rules, all those are there because nothing is guaranteed forever. Right. And we just have to make that adjustment as we go along. But yeah, so I totally agree with you. Like, you know, what Sunny is saying, the 21. Yeah. If we blow past that, then hey, that opens up a whole new world of data and information that tells us, okay, now that this has happened, we need to adjust accordingly or act accordingly. So I just wanted to say that because I think, you know, regardless of how it goes, you know, if I'm right, I'm not going to be sitting down here and say, oh yeah, I was right and they were wrong. And if you guys are right, I'm not going to be like, oh my goodness, they were right and I was wrong. No, it's just like, okay, cool. This is new information. Let's move with what we have now. But on that note, the probabilities of me seeing this market end positively higher, all-time highs by the end of December, I don't want to say 100%, but I'll give it 99.99%. How about that?
Okay. That's a good one.
Because you always got to leave that room for error, right? But I would say 99.999%. And the reason why, again, is, you know, even just some of the things that you talked about, Mike, you said we're at the 50-day moving average. Look at how many times in the past prices bounced off that 50 moving average.
Right.
The next thing we can talk about, like I said, the whole broad market, the S&P, the Dow, all of them are doing the same thing where they're reversing. And then if we look at seasonality again, I mean, when Santa comes around, I mean, I'm saying Santa is here, right? But even if it takes another day or two before everybody else starts seeing the Santa Claus rally, I believe all that is going to push the market higher. Now, the only reason why I'll get a 99.99% is because something happened in Russia or China or with the administration or with COVID or whatever that could disrupt that. Yes. But right now, that information is not being projected in what I see. But at a moment's notice,
I will add, and this is, I appreciate what both of you are saying and that we are standing in agreement that nothing is cast in stone and that I tell subscribers and every single day, do not get married to any position. Do not get married to a bullish position or a bearish position because that's a recipe for disaster. And what I find is that there are many, many traders in the markets these days that they want to believe that the market should go up because they're long Apple or they're long a particular stock. And so they don't want to hear anybody talking anything negative. And
well,
I think
that's hope, Michael. That's not.
Yeah, that is hope. But you see what I'm saying is like, I think that because we are technical traders and that we're basing it on technical information that we're receiving from the market. But ultimately what I say, and I think we're all saying that, it is the markets themselves, I should say, that are going to dictate direction.
Exactly.
And And that's what's more important. So we're interpreting the direction based on the technical indicators that we use. And Sonny, you've created some for yourself. And so there's no reason that we should step outside of those technical indicators to make a particular call.
Right.
What we can.
Well, you know, you were talking about reversing position when the evidence is there. I probably make on average 4 or 5 trades every day. So I'm reversing constantly intraday. So looking at daily charts for me is a broad overview, but it's not how I trade.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, I was at certain points, I did play the downside today, but only because that's where the market was going and it was breaking a few very near term or small time frame moving averages.
Yeah.
So, and I work with some very tight moving averages on my 1 minute, 2 minute, and 5 minute chart. And when I get those crosses on the 1 minute, it's a trade. But again, folks, the thing to understand is it's a 1 minute picture, right? So I think this is also important. Maybe you have the same opinion, Sonny. It's like we can reverse every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it doesn't.
But once again, when I'm watching in 1 minute or 5 minute, I'm watching Sonny Bands every time.
Right.
That's my primary trading tool. I have one more, but Sonny Bands is the primary, and everything else is secondary to that.
Right. And I admire that. And I think that's the important thing that I think that I really want to have folks take away today. It's not a matter of being right or wrong. It's not a matter of switching to bullish. We are basing these decisions on technical indicators, on the technicality of the market versus what people are believing or not believing.
Yeah, to me, it's all mathematics.
Right. And that's, I think that's a strong point to put out there. And so, and when that mathematics or when the math changes, so will the opinion, so will the market call.
Right. And it doesn't matter to me if I catch the absolute bottom. Wally might catch the absolute bottom and go long from there and we'll hit new highs. For me, as soon as it passes that DMA line and the line turns gold, I'm in. And if it goes to new highs, that's still great. I still make money.
I'm telling you, I'm with you, Sonny. I think that's a beautiful statement because again, putting into time frame, folks, what your time frame is for trading. Again, you know, Wally made and his firm made a great call. And right now it's a really great call because if you would have gotten in when it was done, you've got over 100 S&P points in your pocket. And that's fantastic. And basically for the Dow, you'd have a whole lot more. And even in the NASDAQ, I mean, the NASDAQ is, you know, the NASDAQ could go from being down 75, which it was this morning, to being up 150, which it is this afternoon. It's like, that's just the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit and hold with a short position. Absolutely not. I made my money and now I'm long because that's what my indicators, that's what my system of trading is telling me to do. And again, being a day trader. But let's just kind of move on to something else because I want to leave us time and we're clicking away here on the clock. Any particular markets or any particular trades that you want to share? And let's start with you.
Well, my favorite trade's Tesla. I don't trade it on a 1 minute chart. I trade it on a daily chart, actually. But I'm in and out of Tesla all the time because and I've made lots of money trading Tesla. I was long when it was, down around 400, I think, is where I got in and rode it up to the 1200 area and got out. Bought it again right about 980 right in there. Rode it up again to almost 1150. I got out of it again and I'm looking for a place to get back into Tesla again. So it's down on the day, another 7 points. And the DMA has been flat for about 2 weeks. It's turned down right now. It's touched the bottom Sonny band. I'm expecting it to bounce. So I'm looking for another place to buy.
Excellent. Excellent.
Lots of money going back and forth with Tesla.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, thank you because that's another very, very valid point. There's a lot of money to be made, folks, in just playing the back and forth. We don't, you know, even though you might make a long call, you're saying buy it. It's not I'm getting married to it. This is what my charts are telling me. This is what my indicators are telling me. We will go up. And the fact that the volatility has been so strong in Tesla, you're going to make a lot of money very quick. So, sorry, yep. Wally, any trade thoughts or
any particular
instruments that you like?
Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, Apple, Amazon, which are some of the ones that we talked about. Amazon right now is literally putting in another bottom in Signal right now. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's just all over there, right? Apple does really well into the end of the year. And from a seasonality standpoint, does well up until earnings of January. So I like what you guys said about, you know, focusing on what is your time frame. Mine is more swing trades. I don't mind holding onto a stock for a month to 3 months. And so when I see something like Apple right now, I see something like Amazon right now, I'm saying, wow, this is going to be there for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe even the next 2 months. That's mm-hmm. good enough for me. If you're a day trader, you have to approach it completely different. But when I see Amazon put it in that bottom end pattern right now, and I'm seeing, you know, it's just following what the market is doing, I was like, wow, you know, this is going to be good. And so
I put out a newsletter every Sunday night. It's free, called The Sunny Side of the Street. And one of the things that I always mention in there is I have an indicator that measures whether something's a buy and hold or a tradable. And Amazon is always at the top of tradable stocks. It has more swings up and down and up and down than any other.
Absolutely. I know a lot of my subscribers where Amazon is one of the top trades that they trade, you know, over and over and over again. I mean, it's made them a lot of money. Yeah. So I totally agree with you on that. And I think it's one of those things where you just can't go wrong with big companies like that. Amazon, Tesla. I like the fact that Sunny mentioned Tesla, Apple. You can't go wrong with those, you know. But so if I was to say there was one in particular that I am focusing on, is financials right now. We haven't got the buy signal yet, but with the market getting ready to rise, I'd say pay attention to financials.
Goldman Sachs gave you a good buy signal today. So let me just ask you both that with the stocks that you're calling out, like Amazon trades at $3,500. That's pretty expensive. And Tesla's trading over $1,000, which is also expensive for a lot of people. So do you recommend any options along with that, or any other types of strategies besides just going long or short the stock?
I don't trade options. I traded them when I was a beginning trader many years ago, and I found that I could call the direction of the market perfectly and lose money with options. So I don't like
I'm with Sunny on that one.
I don't like to lose money, so yeah. I gave that one up a long time ago.
I gave that up too, Sunny. You and I cut up the same cloth. I gave that up like literally the first year of my trading. I gave up.
Yeah. You know, everybody knows it. I had lunch with Larry Williams one day, and he said, you know, you're a mathematician. You can trade options, right?
I agree.
Wrong. No, I can't. He said, well, that's interesting because I can't trade them either. Oh, I mean, he's one of the greatest traders ever.
Right. I have to say that options are my mainstay. My that's where my heart and my whole career started. I was an options market maker. Really? And so I think that for somebody just to come in and just to trade an option because, the stock's going to go up, so I'm going to buy a call option. You have a time limit. There's a time limit on when that rally should occur. Because the basic premise on an option is that its lifespan and its goal is to go to zero.
Right.
And the reason is because of the strike price and the volatility or the movements in the stock. But I do think that there are some great option trades to put on, which would give you a bullish bias, but also keep your risk in line and also keep your P&L a little bit more agreeable to maybe your account size. So I like to, if I'm very, very bullish on the market or bearish on the market, I think that there are option trades that I can do and wrap around a position, which give me protection to both directions. So I think that there's several ways to work that out. Me personally right now, I focus on day trading. So I can come in and I'm basically just trading price action, which is combining what Wally works with, you know, trading the price action and how he makes the call. And then also puts together how Sunny trades, because we use the same things. We're using moving averages. She uses the Sunny bands, which is proprietary, but it's the same concept. When you see things break above or below certain lines or certain indicators, that produces your next trade. And for me, that trade is, let me put it this way, as Sunny, we alluded to, a daily chart is an eternity for me. Even an hourly chart is an eternity, because if you're working on a chart, a 1 or a 2 minute chart, and I'm looking for my trade, but I look down and I see, well, this bar has another 35 seconds. Most people go, okay. I'm like, oh, you don't understand. In the NASDAQ, 35 seconds could mean the difference between a $500 gain and a $500 loss.
Exactly.
That's how quickly these indexes are are moving. So again, my thing is trying to help people determine what's the right instrument for you to trade. What's the right way for you to trade? And so are you a buy and hold or sell and hold? Or how, you know, you have to figure out what their goals are and what their level of knowledge and trading is. So great conversation, you guys. And I think instead of just giving a call on what we think, we've kind of tossed in some of the technical side of the market, which I think is very important and many people miss out on. So I want to thank you both for really helping us wrap some stronger points around why we make the calls that we make, why we trade the way that we trade, and all of the ways that we trade produce winning results.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, it's been a fun one.
It has been a fun one. So one more time, I'm going to roll around because we still do have, we have about 3 minutes, and give each of you an opportunity to please just tell us who you are again, tell us how we can get a hold of you, and anything that may be on offer for Santa.
Well, please. I'm Sunny Harris. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm a mathematician, a programmer. I like to teach people who don't know how to trade yet how to do it, and people who are working on it but don't have their profit levels up yet. I like to work with them. My website is moneymentor.com, and it's been up since 1995. I was one of the first people on the web, and I do a free newsletter every Sunday night. All you have to do is register for it. Go to moneymentor.com and pull down under books and articles, pull down to Sunny Side of the Street. And I also do a live trading room every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. California time, and show you exactly what I'm looking at and how I trade. And my phone number is right on the top of my website. I do invite you to give me a call. And yeah, thank you very much. So there's the phone number. Give me a call if you want to just chat.
Great.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, guys.
Thank you. Been a total joy. And Wally.
Yes. So again, our company is called Right Side Trading. Right Side Trading. You know, the whole idea is trying to anticipate what is going to happen on the right side of the chart, which is pretty much what we did today. You know, that's what we did today. So I appreciate that. we also created a whole module, a trading model that we use to do all the technical analysis and the quantitative analysis. Our Right Side platform. If you see that red button up there, you click on there and you subscribe to that, then you'll be able to get access to this platform where pretty much everything I said today, it comes out to that. And what it would just do is just tell you, you know, today is a day to be buying. Today is a day to be selling. Today is a day to place your stop today. So it saves you from trying to do too much analysis, because the algorithm does all the analysis for you. Mm-hmm. And then after it does all the analysis, it's okay, based on everything that we've got, all the data, this is a stock that you should be buying, pretty much. That's it. And so it does it on a daily, weekly, and monthly time frame. We don't have anything less than a daily time frame, but it's what we use as well to kind of like just see what's going on in the market. So if you're interested, definitely contact us. This Thursday, we're going to be having a webinar where I talk more in details about how we saw this top 2 weeks ago and how we are now seeing this bottom. So contact us at info@rightsidetrading if you're interested, and then we'll invite you to that. It's free for that Thursday night. It's going to be a 7, but just email us at info@rightsidetrading.
Great. Thank you very much. And once again, I am Michael Filigera, and my website is logicalsignals.com and also tradershelpingtraders.com. And again, I do have a trade room, and the trade room is, I'm a very, very, very short-term trader. I trade on a 1 minute, a 2 minute, and a 5 minute chart. And we're just trying to capture the volatility and the moves in between. We have a daily goal that we try to make, et cetera, et cetera. I also produce and provide daily updates, and those are an Elliott Wave and Fibonacci view of both the S&P, so the ES, and the NASDAQ, which is the NQ. And you can find those on YouTube. If you just look under Traders Helping Traders and then my name. And the reason I say that is because someone has hijacked our trademarked name, Traders Helping Traders. And that's going to be about it for today. One last last thing, though, I am asking people if they have an interest in the trade room to please send me an email. And you can do that at michael@mjf1partners.com and state your interest. And I do have some Santa promotions. And so, but I'd like to hear from people first, and then I will give those promotions out, and then you'll have the ability to go in and join the trade room. And that's going to be it for us for today. Thank you, David, for this opportunity to come in and moderate today. It was very enjoyable. Thank you, Wally. Thank you, Sonny. It was great. Love talking
to you guys.
You.
Absolutely. Same
Thank
here.
You so it was much.
Fun. It was really fun. Thanks, Sonny. So, and you too, Michael.
You're welcome. David, back to you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, or you can also just go to timingresearch.com as you see it right here. This post will become the archive for today as soon as I can get the recording ready. And it will be permanently available on the site. Also, if you can scroll down and see any of the past shows and events here, and you can access those. So just want to thank my guests again for today. Sonny Harris of MoneyMentor.com, Wally Alapade of RightSideTrading.com, and Michael Filguera of LogicalSignals.com. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful week, guys.
You thanks too, everyone. Everybody. Bye-bye.